We're starting the meeting. Okay, I'd like to welcome everybody and especially thank our budget committee folks, our extra folks that are added to our budget committee along with city council. And we're missing a few bodies, but we have a new member, Jeff Weissman.
Welcome.
And Janet Webster.
Welcome.
Ole Olson.
Welcome.
And who else do we have that's on our, Robert Smith back there.
Welcome.
He's on our budget committee.
He's getting a D.
And everybody else that's here is city council.
Is that the only person from the committee here?
No, we have Ole.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And Jeff Weissman. And Janet Webster. And the other people who are not here are Chuck Fornash. David Allen, I think, is at the LCDC thing, probably. He might be a little late. Don Huster and Fred Springsteen. Robert is still our elected chairman until we have another election at our next budget. Our first official budget meeting, we'll have an election for chairperson again. So I hand it over to David.
Yeah, but I just want to everyone one quick thing.
Handouts from the chairs right there.
I want to say this will be my second budget, but it'll be my third budget season. And what I'm seeing, and really thanks to David Marshall, is each year we're doing a better job in not only how we budget, but how we account for money and account for revenues and expenditures. So, you know, this next year is even going to be a better year, both for accountability and for budgeting. And I just want to give credit to where credit's due, obviously, to David Marshall. So thank you. And I'll turn it over to him. Thank you.
I always get criticized for being negative and pessimistic and saying bad things. And people at the end of the meetings, when we talk about money, just walk away depressed, maybe suicidal, homicidal, I don't know. And this actually happened yesterday with an employee group that Jim gave me 2 minutes notice that I would, after a several-hour drive from Grants Pass to get here yesterday, which you can imagine was quite an experience.
Oh, yeah.
I'd been here 10 minutes, and Jim says, by the way, I forgot to tell you that the employee group having to do with personnel is expecting a little briefing on the budget. And when it was all done, people says, God, that was depressing. You know? And I says, I've got to stop that. You know, you want me to be conservative, but you don't necessarily want me to be depressing. So I says, well, let's start off this way. And it's all true. This was a really good year. A year ago at this time, we had $1.2 million in negative fund balances, all gone. We had 19 appropriation overruns, and if there's anything possible to be worse than negative fund balances, it's overrunning an appropriation. All gone, with the exception of two or three items that came up as a result of the audit, in which the auditors made us put back capital projects and water and wastewater, and of course we didn't have the appropriation to accommodate that, but that was a technical issue. So those are all gone. And thanks especially to the city council, we actually have a municipal fund accounting system. Now it's going to take months to work through it. It's a very laborious process and very difficult and consuming lots of time and effort, mostly on Linda Brown's part and Gwen, but we got payroll done, we got accounts payable done. Without a new financial system, I just don't know how we could have kept going. I don't know how we kept going since 2003. The area that's not completely mastered, but we're getting closer, is the understanding what an appropriation is in the first place. Now, we're not going to talk about that very much tonight, but we are going to go over it a little bit more, because without knowing what an appropriation is, you can get in lots of trouble. And we'll just talk about that. And the good news is there'll be no pop quiz tonight. I noticed there were some nervous people. No pop quiz. And there's better news. This is 30 to 45 minutes, and we should be done, unless you have some questions. And there's somebody trying to get in. Just three things we want to do. Very briefly, an introduction to the new budget structure. That is this single page. I didn't want to put it up there because you can see it's lots of numbers, but this is the budget structure that the budget committee will approve, this structure, if not the numbers in it, and will send on to the city council for adoption. And everything you see in red is new. Getting this new financial system actually enables us to conform to Department of Revenue and Oregon Revised Statute standards for budget law. And so we'll have just one fund in the 100 series of general fund. That is typical. Right now we have several. They're really scattered all over the place. So anything you see in red is new, not necessarily a new fund, but a new number. There's a correlation then between the funds and the cost centers. And the budget committee will be reviewing budgets with this kind of structure. A lot of you are not going to care for very long, and I can understand that, but it is different. We have only one appropriation group, or that's the plan. And we have it now, basically, which is just city administration, and that's the bright yellow at the top. But again, we can't at this meeting talk about next year's budget, so I'm not even going to hint at anything else. But basically, we've got a restructuring going on that really conforms a lot closer to Oregon budget law as compared to what we had. And of course, this was the ideal time to do that. Oh, let me get back. Even more briefly, we're going to talk about a little that we have accomplished and what remains to be done. Most of it is well started. And then there's a lengthier discussion on the city's approach to budget, or at least the city staff's approach to budgeting. And you're going to see a couple items that we want to consider that we've learned from the past and going out 3 to 5 years. But this is not going to be an intensive or detailed discussion at all. Well, if I can... Initially, I was going to make this what you see in front of you, but it's just too many numbers, and this probably is too. But I want to show you a couple things, because we have a recommendation for the budget committee that says these guys, in this order: capital projects, general fund, water fund, wastewater fund, urban renewal fund, room tax fund, parks and recreation fund, airport fund, and street fund, are the ones that we should review, and we don't see any reason to review any other funds. And if you look at those, you'll recognize those names, because you hear about those funds at every single city council meeting one way or another. You don't often hear about the Agate Beach Site Closure Fund. Probably don't even know what it is, and I'm not sure, other than it's got $1.6 million there, but it's a very exotic fund and does relatively little except accumulate money over the next 20 or 30 years. The Building Inspection Fund, the Line Undergrounding Fund, Public Parking Fund, Housing Fund, the SDC Fund, and the Debt Service Fund are either small or they're very specialized funds, and I don't believe that there's any reason why the Budget Committee needs to spend any time on that. We'll do that if you direct us to, of course, but there's no real need to, and we spent almost no time on them last year. And you notice how I've sorted this. You've got 2-3 major funds of any size, and the only reason the water fund is up here is because of the residual amount for the water treatment plant. It consists of a whole lot of bond proceeds, but this tends to be in the vicinity of $3 or $4 million, like the wastewater fund. So if you look at this, you see what our largest funds are the ones that are most active, and even some of our smaller ones, street fund and airport fund, are either very sensitive or they're the recipients of large sums of money or transfers from the general fund and or the room tax fund. So what we will be bringing you on the first meeting of the budget committee is some of these funds up here. We haven't really decided how, but it's for the reason that those are the major funds, and that's where almost all the activity takes place. Are there any questions on this? Here's what, from our perspective, we either changed or needs to be done. And most of it is being done. It is things that still remain to be done, or we're in the process of getting them done. I discovered last year that I shouldn't budget overtime, callback time, or part-time and extra help. Department heads know what that is. We budget payroll because it's way too complex for anybody else to budget. Plus, it's subject to negotiations and everything else. There's no way anybody could legitimately do that, but Chief Page and Chief Miranda and Tim Gross know what they need here and should budget that. And last year was kind of mixed up because I assumed that I should do it, but I don't know as much as those department heads. And so they're budgeting this, or will be. By and large, not entirely, they should be budgeting those fees that are within their control. In other words, service fees, user fees, grants, miscellaneous sales and service, did that some last year, but more pronounced this year, because again, they know. And when it gets into the water wastewater fund, it would be dependent upon, of course, what the city council determines to do about raising those rates or not raising those rates. But Tim and I would talk about water and wastewater and even streets, because that's something that is just, it's not a single person's decision on what we're going to do in those funds. But you don't see taxes, for example, or business license or room tax fees or something subject to anything other than my best estimate that then goes to the city manager, then comes to you. Some people say this is what I do best if I do anything well at all, but I'm not very good data entry clerk, and I enter the entire budget. There is no reason, and in most places that I worked eventually, and especially with this new financial accounting system, departments can enter their own budgets. It's too much stuff for any individual to do, and it lends itself to mistakes. There's no way that we can do that this year with a new financial system. But the intent is, in the future, starting next year, that departments, however they want to do it, would enter their own budgets, with the exception of payroll and some revenues that really only, quote, the city could do. This is getting a lot better, but there's a very big difference between a budget line item, an expense, and an appropriation. And you can't budget accurately if you don't know the difference. And this is just a continuing education process, but we've made a whole lot of progress since last year. We talked about this, whether it's Tim and Jim and I, or the chiefs, or anybody else, reserving for future capital procurement or purchases is essential. And most of the department heads are already talking about doing just that. And my advice always been, even if you need a $100,000 item, set aside $1,000 next year, and then $5,000 the year after that, and then $10,000. Get started, as opposed to saying it's impossible to get $100,000. It is if you look at it in 1 year. So that, you'll see probably quite a bit more of that this year. This was one of the big things I saw here, and it's understandable why it happened, but it's not understandable that it would continue to happen, and it isn't. Last year, and for several years prior, there was a tendency to just charge any item to any budget that had budget in it. So in other words, travel reimbursement might be charged to supplies, and of course you lose in every way possible, because then you don't know how much you spent on travel reimbursement. And the random selection of accounts that had budget in them and then actually charging something to it because they had budget, it defeats the whole purpose of having a budget. And what you're seeing this year is exactly what should happen. If there's $100 spent against a budget item that has no budget, at least it's there. And when you look at that $100,000 against a non-existent budget in 1 year, you can budget appropriately the next year. You couldn't do that because there was no way of knowing what you were spending on any particular item. That is much, much better than it used to be. This last one is going to be the most fun I'm going to have in all, however many years I'm going to be here, which is purchase order system. Yes.
I love them.
And I've been directed by the mayor and the council to see that we have a purchase order system, and we're going to. But that'll be sometime in the next 4 to 6 months. But we will have one, because it'll be all electronic. If you go into my office now, you see a stack this high that's got to be approved by tomorrow morning, all manual, because there's no purchase order system. Mm-hmm. It's not an optimum way to do things. So that's what's left to do, but almost all of it, except the purchase order system. And even in that case, we have two or three individuals and departments who do it manually. Okay, this is the core of this. And we'll go over this a little more slowly, and please ask questions if you have them. And Jim is going to have a couple of notes and things he wants to talk about in this approach. And this is just budget familiarization, but also a little budget philosophy. Our budget this year is $57 million. We don't have $57 million in cash, and never have had $57 million in cash or anything even close to it, because of what we do internally. Every time we transfer $1 from one fund to another, we've increased the size of the budget by $1, but there's not $2 in cash, there's just $1. So if you look at this, we got a $57 million budget. The cash budget, if there was such a thing as a cash budget, it'd be about $21 million. In other words, we have $36 million of, it's not even funny money, it's not any kind of money, it's indirect charges that the general fund charges other funds for Jim's time and my time and other people, and we charge that out for millions of dollars, or a couple of million dollars. And we transfer money. A perfect example is a transfer of $448,000 from the general fund to the room tax fund. No cash takes place, but that's just increased the size of the budget by $448,000. So for budgetary purposes, everything balances. No cash has been transacted. So we have right now $15.8 million in the bank. We should have about that much. That's what we normally have in the bank. As you're going to see in a minute, however, very little of that is discretionary, and it will never approach $57 million because of the internal transfers and those other things that take place. Does that make sense to everybody? Oh, and the last guy. We may have $21 million. We have $10 million in discretionary cash.
Do other cities do the same thing?
Yep.
Almost everybody does?
Yeah, they do it in different ways. We've got a very, because of an indirect cost analysis that was done 4 years ago, we've got a very sophisticated way of allocating costs that is now inaccurate. To give you one example, it was based upon, let's say, a six-person finance department. We have five people. Therefore, there's costs being allocated that don't exist. The complexity of fixing that, however, is huge. I mean, it's probably many hundreds of hours of changing. Another example, it was based upon we had our own city attorney. And so those $130,000 or $140,000 of complete payroll expenses were allocated out on a fairly sophisticated basis to all of the other funds and cost centers. It's no longer accurate because we don't do it that way, and there are many examples of just something like that. This is what we can really spend. So notice we've gone from $57 million to a little over $10 million. And so all of a sudden, it's quite a bit smaller. And so it's a $57 million budget, but you got $10 million that you got any control over. And just to give you some idea of where it comes from, $9.1 million comes from the general fund and $1.2 million comes from the room tax fund. And for all practical purposes, that's it. That's where our discretionary money comes from. So Tim in the water fund, for example, has discretionary money, but within the water fund only. That can't be spent in any other fund. So he could choose to spend it on materials and services or capital outlay because he's appropriated just at the water fund level, but it cannot leave the water fund. And that's true for almost all the funds we've got. So when we talk about what we can really do and how much flexibility we have, you're looking at it. There's your $10.39 million. And I get this to go the right direction here eventually if I keep practicing. Just by way of refresher, the room tax fund, and it's $2.3 million. $1.058 can be spent for tourism, a 46%, and $1.24 million can be spent for general purposes, 54%, and that's it. Now, it's all broken down within these categories. But that's the room tax fund, and interestingly, the room tax fund for 4 years has averaged just about $2.3 million in revenue. So if you add those together, hopefully they'll come up to 2.3, and they do. And that's it. There is nothing else. Let's see if I can get this to go the right way this time. The rest of what we're going to talk about for 15 or 20 minutes is the general fund. The general fund is the key to everything. And here's where we get our money. And by far the most critical is property taxes. And we're going to talk a little bit more about property taxes in a couple minutes. But in something that, and everything I've said here is much more complex than this, but this is the general picture. Out of something less than $10 million, and the general fund is slightly smaller this year than last year, and next year will be slightly smaller than this year, for reasons other than property taxes. But like I say, we'll get into property taxes in a minute. That's the great majority of our funding in the general fund. We have other taxes, franchise tax fees of $750,000 make up almost all of that. We have a small number of grants in the general fund. We provide some services I notice I've got these other taxes here twice, so I'm not sure why this is incorrect. I don't know what that title would be. Probably just other income is what I should have said. Other taxes is here. These two are the ones I talked about earlier, services provided. We count this as revenue in the general fund, and we don't get a dollar. It's just a transfer from another fund. The room tax fund, we transfer money to the room tax fund, which transfers money back to us. And no money changes hands. But this is about $565,000 from the general fund, and then a couple other transfers from smaller funds. But these two guys are not represented by cash. So what you're looking at is by far the most important fund for most purposes as far as flexibility and everything else. That's something under $10 million on a $57 million budget.
David, before you go on to that one, can I just point out something that might be interesting as we get a little further? Is the slide back.
Oh, yeah. I'm really good at this. There we go.
This is our revenue source for the general fund. This side here probably will not see much increase next year, just because they can't. You know, a lot of the franchise fees are going to stay the same. The grants, you know, if we get a grant, we spend a grant. If we don't get a grant, we don't spend a grant. So you're not going to really see this. The rest of these will not change. The only increase in our revenue is this section right here, and as David will show you, that is estimated around 2.5%. So our total revenue, wherever that slide was, our total increase of revenue is only going to be an increase from this part of the pie. And that's kind of, you know, important to remember as we look at how much more revenue we'll have this year as or next year as opposed to this year.
So and that's 2.5% estimated?
That's what we're going to estimate.
What was last year?
Just a little under 3. But we're going to get into that in just a minute. We're going to get into that in just a minute. Notice if that property taxes were $5 million and you took 2.5%, you'd be looking at $125,000. Kind of remember that number. We're not going to talk much about next year. We can't talk much about next year, but remember that number of $125,000. Is that going to be sufficient in a general fund for everything that the general fund's got to do next year? Here's what we spend it on. Now, notice here, here's about $4.3 million, and I think I left a little bit out, but this is certainly indicative of a factor that all cities have to consider. In some cases, there are cities whose public safety budgets are greater than their property taxes, which means everything else in the general fund has to come from something other than property taxes. In this case, and I did leave something out, but the order of magnitude is correct. Here's $4 million of public safety costs on $5 million, and I'm rounding, on $5 million of property taxes. So no less than 80%. It's really 85 or 88 or something like that. But for all intents and purposes, property taxes pay for public safety and a little bit more. But if you look at this, so here's public safety, and you can tell that fire and police and central dispatch basically are nearly half of the general fund. And you look at some of these other guys, here's finance and here's court. Court is, by the way, the only cost center in the general fund that pays its own way. It takes in maybe $150,000 a year, spends $30,000. Information technology, city manager, city council. City council has
the city council is very thin.
Very thin. Yes. Yeah. We got every recommendation to the contrary next year. And then here we go. Transfer to streets. That's the wrong. Oh, I know why that is. Transfer to streets normally is around $50,000 or some. Don't be concerned. This is a one-time. This was the final payment to negate the negative fund balance in streets, which was $640,000 a year ago. It's now whole. But notice transfer to park and rec and transfer to airport. So these two things are transfers to other fund. But in a way, the distribution to parks and rec or the distribution to airport is no more nor any less than the distribution to finance. In other words, you're looking at entities, organizations that don't earn their own money. And whether it's externally recognized as a fund or internally not recognized so much doesn't change the fact that everybody here except court is subsidized, it's not a good word, but it is supported, it receives distribution from property taxes and those other things, primarily franchise taxes, that support the overhead operations of the city. It's those overhead operations that are the services provided for. In other words, the city manager is some of his expenses charged out everywhere. And what I really hope to do by next year is update that indirect cost allocation, because it's not accurate. But it was done by professional people, and it's very difficult to get through there, and I'm not going to spend $25,000 to have them do it again. I'll find time between now and next year to do it, because it really needs to be accurate. Tim?
This is how the budget is for this fiscal year.
Yes.
It's not actually how it's going to be for next fiscal year.
There is no next fiscal year in this meeting.
Gotcha. We're just recapping last year.
We're recapping. That's correct. Yeah.
If yes. Mike mentioned library, because that's an interesting.
Yeah, that is true.
Because of the district that we belong to.
Yeah. Ted could explain it in more detail. Ted's $934,000. He does receive $346,000. Yeah, $346,000. So he's the only other one that has a sizable amount of revenue. It doesn't cover his expenses, but as you can see, it covers over a third of them. So when I say that Court is the only one that pays for itself, it's not the only one that pays for itself out of the revenue that comes out of municipal court and after deducting the expenses. But Ted does get over a third of his from, is that county, Ted?
Yes.
The county?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How much do we get from the Rural Fire Protection District?
$204,000. Okay, general fund. Just to give you some idea, because when I first got here, I was used to school districts where the general fund is much larger and totally dominates, and that's not our case as far as size. However, it is the keys to the city's finances. Of $8.9 million in total payroll, $5.9 million, or 66%, is in the general fund. Of the city's 120 FTE, 66, or 55%, are in the general fund. Of the city's $4 million in transfers, not including capital projects, because that's a separate beast entirely. But 25% comes from the general fund, and if there's a key to all of this, it's this number right here. Just to give you a little example, McMinnville is estimating only a 1% increase in property taxes. Albany is expecting $1 million less in property taxes. Property taxes, even in the good days and the good times, 4 years ago and longer, did not increase in Oregon since 1989, 1992, by more than 3%, unless there was large construction and new construction, which this new real estate then come on the tax rolls. But it was prohibited from running more than 3%, but now with what's happened to the housing market in most places, and I know that Dave and the mayor were at a briefing by the League of Oregon Cities just a week ago tonight, in which said statewide for the last 5 years, property taxes have decreased 4-5%, or 4%, I think it was. So now the most stable source of revenue for cities is one that's not stable anymore, but you can't even count on 3%. And so I went over and talked to the assessor about a week and a half ago, and he said basically 2.5% tops. And so we're saying over the next 3 to 5 years, now it could be different, but it's not going to be higher than 3% anyhow, unless there's some massive amount of new construction that takes place. And so what you need to start asking yourself is, does 2.5% cover all of the costs that the general fund is going to experience over the next 3 to 5 years? Payroll increases, increases in the cost of materials and services reserved for future capital, and I'll let you draw your own conclusions to that. But
what's the collection rate there? Are we 90%?
93%.
93 right now?
93, yeah.
And just a quick note. Yeah. I know Deschutes County last year, all the different jurisdictions in Deschutes County went down 4%.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you've never seen anything like this in Oregon, even when they did all of the measure of 5 and 50 and all of this stuff. I mean, what you have is just it's a market that's actually collapsed. It's not in the process of collapsing, it's collapsed for all practical purposes. So what is a conservative enough number to put in for property taxes? I wanted to give you a simple example because, again, this is hypothetical, but it's actually based upon this year's general fund budget of $57 million. So if you have a beginning fund balance of $100 and you have revenue of $900, your resources are $1,000. resources always consist of what you brought into the year with you plus what you earned this year. So if you look at this, you say, I've got $1,000 to do something with. In this year's budget, 532 of that goes to payroll, 234 to materials and services. I won't read all of that to you. Transfers to other funds, as you can see, though, is 9%. And you've got a contingency required now by the city council of 18%. And you've got total appropriations. And that's the key number. That's what can't be exceeded is the $900. Cannot do that unless we come to the council, as we've done twice this year for supplemental budgets, and said, before we spend anything else, please add these resources and make these additional appropriations. Without doing that, we cannot exceed $900 in this case, and the unappropriated ending fund balance is $100, meaning the total use of resources counts here. Now, when Chief Page puts in his budget, let's say it's $25,000 is the beginning contribution to a new fire truck, it would be down here under total appropriations because it would be an unappropriated account called reserve for future capital, which means he can't spend it this year, but he'll do 25 this year, 25 next year, 25 next year, and then 4 years, which as most of us know goes by pretty quickly these days, he'll have 100,000. So you'll see some of this, and so what you'll see in any budget coming up is you'll see a total appropriation in the general fund and other funds, but you'll see something called unappropriate ending fund balance, which cannot be touched even by the city council except in catastrophic circumstances. And you'll see reserve for future capital, which can't be touched at the earliest until the next year. And so the total use of resources has to equal this number, and the total appropriations is the level that cannot be exceeded. There's just one slide left, and we will get done about the right time.
One comment, because I think this is, I guess, the challenge and the fun we're going to have this year in balancing the budget, because as we talked earlier, this revenue for this next year is going to increase a little bit. But we can only spend here. This line has to equal this line. And you think about it, our unallocated ending fund balance, we're going to want to keep that the same. Contingency, we're going to want to keep that the same. The transfers, they aren't really going to change. So all of our fund is going to really be with payroll, materials, services, and capital. And it's a balance because you have to have police vehicles and fire equipment. So you really can't cut down on capital too much and say you want to do it this year. It doesn't go away. You're going to get it next year or the year after that. So you really can't monkey around with this too much. Materials and services, if you have people, you have to have things to do. You have to have, you know, the stuff with. So it's really a balance between these three things. And again, we're not going to talk about it tonight, but as you look at the budget we give it to you, really this is the balance that we're looking at and the challenge. And we will do it. I mean, we have to, and we'll come to some solution. But that's, I guess, the fun part of being on the budget committee.
There's actually one thing that he and I both forgot to mention, is this, by your own policies, will not remain the same, but will go up another 2.5%.
I was going to ask about.
Yeah, it will go up at 2.5%. This contingency must be 2% of operating revenue, and this must increase. And we basically set out till 2016 or 2017 until we get between 17.5% and 20%, which is the optimum for lending and credit rating of the city. So if you look at this and you basically say 2.5 of 8.3 is essentially not quite 33%. So this is going to go up to about $125. So what you've got, as Jim indicated, you've got to squeeze from here. This is going to be negotiations driven, but other things also. And of course, we've taken the first big step, even though it's 5 or 10 years into the future, certainly five, we've taken the first big step into controlling this is when we did the soft freeze. That'll be huge in future generations in the city, I have no doubt about it. We will see relatively little, but that's a start. But the squeeze is here, here, and here. This one, anything can happen with this, but generally you want to keep where you are. We did cut back on transfers to Parks and Rec and airport, and we don't know if they could survive on any less than that, but that'll be a budget issue to the budget committee. This is 2% of this, and there's your appropriations, and this must increase to be 10.88% of this number, whatever that number turns out to be, and you'll see that in the proposed budget. Then last, and this is it, just to go over it again, and when I say the city, that's any of 250 cities in this state. The city will find it increasingly difficult to match available resources with increasing demands. And the League of Oregon Cities and everybody have taken that position. You've got built-in escalation costs and no built-in escalating revenues of similar proportion, statewide, countrywide. And so we got a lot of demands on not dwindling resources. They're just not increasing very much, and there's no prospect that they will. You want an incentivized and fairly compensated workforce. I think that's a given. Staffing levels that can adequately provide city services. I think there will be many department heads in this room right now that say they're not staffed adequately. I think that's a given. Setting aside a reserve for capital procurement and for capital projects. I mean, Tim and the two chiefs could talk about that at length. And capital, by its very nature, is not inexpensive. It's very expensive stuff, and I know that we need it, and you probably do too, just from listening to the department heads a couple weeks ago. The council correctly directed set-asides for contingency and unappropriated balance. That is, to my mind, is inflexible. The council can always change that, but it, in my opinion, that would be ill-advised, especially at this early stage, and so you have relatively little flexibility there. You don't have a whole lot you can do with this without further damaging services to the people, really, in my opinion. And you need an adequate budget for materials and services. And it's been cut at least from this year from last year, and I think the year before, although I'm not sure about that, Dave.
They're comparing payroll to materials and services. So we know with the payroll that costs are increasing, health insurance and so forth. But as far as materials and services, if we were just use the same amount of materials and services from last year to the previous year, what kind of inflationary costs were we talking about?
If you talk to streets, and Tim can talk about this better than I can, but if you talk about some issues that Tim uses in the wastewater, water, and streets fund, I suspect right now I know that streets preliminarily has estimated that its critical items are up 5%, and probably more than that.
Gasoline.
Yeah. And the impact of materials and services, office supplies. I mean, generally what I've seen in the past is that you've got a COLA of 3%, and that's the first one we're hearing from the bargaining units. There's a reason for that, because it's coming from official forecasts, or in this case, historical data on cost of living, and by definition, the cost of living includes some of those items, although it tends to be a grocery shopping list.
Okay, so if we use 5% as the inflationary increase for materials and services, I'm not sure for capital projects how much the increase in project costs is from year to year. Maybe you can say something similar. But as far as payroll, what's been the past year's increase as a percentage? It's been more than 5%, I know that. What's been the general?
Well, can I give you an example without talking at all about next year?
Well, last year or year before.
Yeah. If you look at step increases, they're 3.5%. So I make $100 a day. In the future, I'd make $103.50. But before that, is there been a COLA that's been negotiated with the bargaining units, and will the city council carry that number over to the non-represented people? Let's assume it's 2%, because it could be anything right now. So you take my $100, you increment it by 2%, so it's now 102, and then you take 3.5% of that. If you look at that, that's about a 5.6% increase in wages and salaries only.
Right.
Then if you take health insurance, we have an estimate from CIS on health insurance, that's 6.8%. That's pretty good.
That's good.
That's good. Yeah. Up to a point, that's good.
Yeah.
PERS next year for police and fire is estimated to go up 33%.
Yeah.
So if it were 12% this year, and that's about what it is, give or take, then a third of that is 4%, and would go up to 16%. We have to, in future budgets, consider the PERS increases that are going to hit, maybe not this biennium, but the next biennium, because that's not insignificant. The two chiefs and their employees are the they're the core of the general fund when it comes to payroll, and they get these PERS increases, and of course that's something we have no control over. So if you look at PERS increases in the biennium 2014 or 15, add 33% to what we're presently paying, what are we setting aside to anticipate that? So you've got health insurance at 6.8%. If you've got step and COLA, you've got 5.6%. If you have retirement, which is going to be less, but the contributions to the unfunded liability in the near future will probably remain the same. So right now, I'm kind of estimating in future years, maybe it'll be 2%. We'll always want to pay off that unfunded liability. It may be, though, that over the years, starting 3 or 4 years from now, we won't be contributing 14.48% as we are now, but maybe it'll be 13%. And you'll start seeing that decrease. It might be offset by PERS. As long as the economy's like this and they're not earning 8% on their money, they make it up by taxing the employers who contribute to the PERS retirement fund in any event. And there's no, that's state law, you can't do anything about it. If I were to say, what have we done in each of the last years, and it's difficult because we've had people going in and out of the general fund and in and out of water and wastewater funds, but if I'd say, what have we typically done in the last few years keeping FTE constant, I'd say it'd be, except for the year when there was only, was it step increases or COLA with for the fire 2 or 3 years
yeah.
ago?
Actually, it was two years ago, we had pretty much a total freeze. No steps, no COLA. So it was just the benefits that went up. Last year, only step increases, no COLAs.
Right.
And really, it was a credit to the bargaining units who recognized the situation and worked with us to hold it these last 2 years.
Right.
We are currently in negotiations, so we can't even talk about it right now. But
the last 2 years, our benefit costs all increased by considerable chunks.
It was a little over 7% for health insurance, and we upped the contribution to the unfunded liability for our own retirement plan considerably so that we could get on a 30-year amortization.
Which is why PERS is going up 33%. They always have that huge, they've got that big unfunded liability that they have to cover all the time.
So I'd say in a typical year when you give COLA and when you give step increases and keeping other things equal, you're always going to have between 5 and 6%. And then you have to add health insurance to that.
Right. The only thing I'd add is to control costs. We did cut back on personnel the last 2 years ago and last year some. So and this is really important to remember is that the budget committee doesn't weigh in on all the steps, the COLAs, the health insurance and stuff. The budget committee just, it's the bottom line, how much you're going to allow the city to, or recommend the city pay on payroll. And then it's up to the management to figure out how you're going to pay the people. And if you only give us this much money and that's what the council approves, you can only hire as much people till that money runs out and you can't have any more employees. So that's how it works. So even though we're giving you this information, Don't think that you can get involved with the negotiations with the wages and all that stuff. It's really just, this is how much money you can spend on payroll. And
Yeah, but Jim, our decision is based on projections you're giving us. It's not in a vacuum. So when we're deciding that bottom line number, it's not, there's a basis for it, which means we're trying to get the more particulars from you in making that final judgment call. It's not like, you're doing your own thing, we're doing our own thing. We have to work together, so we need specificity to come up with those general line items. Otherwise, it's not going to work for us and it's not going to work for you. So there is a connection, even though there is different roles. The information we need is the particulars and making some of those general guidelines.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting that's the case.
Okay.
Of course, you will know it. But just, I want to make sure that you, particularly for some of the newer budget committee, is you don't get involved with those things. Of course, you're going to understand them, and it'll help you with that bottom line. But it is the bottom line, is how much payroll, then it'll be up to council approve it, then it's up to staff to, this is how much money we have to spend on payroll.
Completely different. What's the current population? Have we shrunk?
10,500, I think.
Stable. I'm just thinking about
it isn't?
The U.S. Census was under 10,000.
Really?
So we've
I've seen numbers above 10,000.
But the most recent, I don't know, don't we rely on the PSG population study? Is that what we're basing everything on in the state? And that showed over 10,000.
Did it over 10,000?
Yeah. I think the Oregon cities has basically.
I guess my question was the legislature.
We showed somewhat of a minor increase. Yeah. Did that answer your question?
Any other questions?
Can you let us know about the schedule of the budget meetings?
Yes, I'll be sending out something probably tomorrow. I've got the first budget committee tentatively scheduled. I mean, it's your call, but I think it's the first Tuesday or Wednesday in May, and then another one 2 weeks after that, and another one 2 weeks after that.
So the same schedule you sent to us?
Yes, I think, depending on the budget committee's wishes, we could do this in two meetings rather than three. But that's, of course, your call.
So we need to have that calendar sent back.
Yes, I will. I'll send it to you tomorrow morning.
Just want to, since Chief Miranda handed out his annual report, are we going to get a fancy annual report from anybody else back there in the field?
Fire department.
Prophet Miranda.
It's called strategizing.
I know it is. That's
not propaganda. Propaganda is what is true, but I think it's true.
Any other questions?
I hope so.
47 minutes.
Yeah.
Not too bad. I hope it was worth your time. It'll start getting interesting from here on out. I promise that. It's going to be really interesting. Thank you.
The thing is,
this to some extent, the Oregon Department of Education.